And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. We are about to take some calls on this and other issues. We're going to get back to the American elections in just a moment. So give us a call at 1-800-313-9443 to be on the Political Cesspool with James Edwards and my co-host Bill Rowland this evening on Republic Broadcasting Network. For the better part of the last half hour, Bill has been giving us the facts about the suspicious death of Jörg Haider, an Austrian political leader whose party just experienced massive gains in the elections over there. And it just goes to show, Bill, and I think something that's very disturbing is that even when you are able to withstand and endure all of the character defamations and all of the attacks and stunts that they try to pull on people who share our heartfelt concerns and ideas, and certainly this was a man who I think shares many views that we do, although he is on a different continent and in a different situation. But then, even having withstood all of that and been able to overcome all that, he happens to die on the night of his finest hour. And so, you know, people need to be taking a close look into these strange situations that happen to occur on a night where an enemy of our, or somebody who shares the same enemies just so happens to turn up dead.
Expect
Bill, anything you'd like to say to wrap that up, and then we're going to take some calls.
Expect the smear campaign to begin in full flame now that he's dead, now that he can't answer his detractors. There will be a huge smear campaign against Jörg Haider in order to discredit the right in Austria, that is, to discredit the whole movement over there. Thousands of people turned out to express their condolences to pay homage to Jörg Haider at his funeral. 25,000-30,000 people lined up to visit him lying in state. And yet you can be assured that the media all over Europe is going to conduct a smear campaign similar to the kind of campaign conducted against Princess Diana after her death. If you'll remember, she was a very romantic figure in the European press until her death in a car accident with her Egyptian boyfriend, Dodi Fayed. And yet after that, all of the lurid details about her life supposedly began pouring out, and all of her sexual liaisons supposedly and different smears against Diana. And I was no big fan of hers. But this is the typical scenario. You know, if you talk about the dead from the Holocaust in World War II, and you challenge that historical reference, then you're defaming the dead. If you talk evil of Jörg Haider and smear his memory, then you're simply revealing something about a politician who is a danger to the status quo of Europe. So, you know, it's a double standard there as far as dead politicians go.
Well, Bill, with that being said, I think we'll wrap up the coverage of the death of Jörg Haider. Certainly, I'm sure there's some people in the listening audience tonight who are not aware of this man and not aware of his party or anything perhaps that we've been talking about tonight. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are very well informed as to what happened there. But this is just one of the issues we like to bring up because it's one of the issues that sets this program apart from all other mainstream AM radio shows. We'll talk about the issues. We'll talk about the tough topics, and we'll talk about them honestly and with a lot of candor. And that's what makes this show what it is compared to our competition. And with that being said, we're going to take a lot of calls, or as many as we can, at the top of this very next segment. I know Mike in Ohio in particular has been waiting for quite some time. So we're going to take some calls on the other side. Give us a call and get on the line. 1-800-313-9443. The Political Cesspool rolls on right after this.
There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Go to drinkjujube.com. That's drinkjujube.com. And find out what two dangers you really do face today and how drinking the juice of the jujube fruit protects you against both. The jujube fruit has been used in Chinese medicine for almost 4,000 years. At drinkjujube.com, find out why thousands of people, including football star John Elway, featured there in a CBS TV interview, are drinking every day the energizing juice of the powerful, concentrated, free radical-fighting nutritional drink of jujube, plus seven other highly acclaimed fruits and berries, 12 essential vitamins, and 68 minerals, all in highly absorbable, bio-ready, convenient one-ounce servings. In today's fast-paced, stressful, toxin-filled environments, you need the extra edge to stay that cut above. DrinkJujube.com.
And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. James Edwards is still rolling here with you on the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Saturday evening, October 18th, and we're here at the top of the second hour of tonight's broadcast, WLRN, AM 1380 in Memphis, and republicbroadcasting.org. We got a couple of callers on the line. During the first hour, we talked extensively about the death of York Hader, and of course a little earlier than that, talking about some election-related issues. We're going to talk much more about the election and the economy before the time runs out this evening, but we do want to take a couple of calls now. People have been waiting. Mike in Ohio, thanks for sticking with us and being so patient. What can we do for you tonight?
Hey, is this James Edwards?
This is.
Yes, I was wondering, are you just taking calls on York Hader?
No. We can go back to anything you want to talk about now.
Well, this sort of has to do with the recent SPLC defamations along with the PayPal situation. And obviously, we know that the controlled media, let's say CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, they have their quote-unquote agenda. For example, let's say, for lack of better terms, whether it's white guilt, multiculturalism, Zionism, and so forth. I'm not a Cesspoolian yet, and I'm genuinely curious, so don't mean to offend you by any means. But
sure,
what I was thinking is, obviously, these news stations have some degree of bias because they are organizations with certain ideas and notions and so forth. But and I'm mostly giving you a chance here to make a good statement here, but I'm wondering what makes the political cesspool itself different? Because isn't the cesspool itself also pushing a certain agenda that its hosts and sponsors and members also believe in? Or I apologize.
Yeah, no, I can answer the question right there, because I believe that in and of itself is what makes us so different, is that we don't mince words, and we don't try to hide the fact that we are advancing a certain agenda here on this program, and it's an agenda that can be clearly read at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Just go to our mission statement, and you will find out exactly what this show stands for and why we do this work, whereas I think with a lot of the controlled media, they claim to be just delivering you the news, the raw news, but, of course, they're much more biased than well, they're as biased as anyone can be. Let me just put it that way. Whereas, you know, we do this as volunteers. We do this because we genuinely believe that the pro-white point of view or the paleo-conservative point of view, depending on what issue you're talking about, isn't receiving or doesn't have, I should say, a real mainstream representative on the AM airwaves. And that's what we, I think, are trying to be, and something that I think we've been quite effective at doing over the last 4 years, because, as you mentioned, we have come under such attack and such a claim, depending on who you ask. But no matter which way your persuasions lie, you've probably heard of this program if you're tuning in to hear race infused into the dialogue from a realistic point of view.
Right. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, so 15 more seconds.
Sure.
You mentioned the paleoconservative point of view. Now, the last paleoconservative who ran for office, to my knowledge, is Pat Buchanan in the year 2000, right?
I would say the last, well, Ron Paul. I think Ron Paul, he might define himself as more libertarian, but I think there's a lot of crossover there. So Ron Paul this year would have probably been the most recent one that won on a major ticket. And Pat Buchanan,
right.
You know, but anyway, go ahead. Yeah, Pat Buchanan was another one, though. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, because to my knowledge, Pat Buchanan got, as I'm reading right here, he has gotten 0.4% of all the registered votes in the year 2000. And I'm wondering, is it because paleoconservatism in general is much less popular, for lack of better terms, with the mainstream public, or is it because of suppression or a combination of both, for lack of better terms?
I'll take that question, and thanks very much for calling in tonight. I want to give you the opportunity to call in anytime you'd like. Those are very thoughtful questions, and you're more than welcome to come on the line anytime. We hope you'll continue to listen. But with regard to your question pertaining to Pat Buchanan's election showing, I just think that this country is just too eat up with the two-party system, and it wasn't that they voted for Bush because they reject Buchanan's point of view on the issues. It was because they saw, and probably realistically so, unfortunately, that one of those two folks were going to win. It was either going to be Bush or Gore. They voted for Bush. I didn't. I worked for Buchanan. But I think Bill Rowland would probably have a very good answer for that one. Bill, do you think that, well, let me pose it to you this way. Take the caller's question and give it to you in a different way. What percentage of the population do you believe endorses or makes their own our issues, and you know, why hasn't that correlated in the nominees from these parties?
The people are easily duped by the most polished candidate. It doesn't matter what the candidate is saying. It's the sex appeal of the candidate. It's the telegenesis of the candidate that matters. We have wax dummies running for office in this country. And the big political parties control the process. They control the system. And we have talked about this, I think, on the show a number of times. But clearly, there is massive voter fraud in this country. Now even the Wall Street Journal is investigating this fraud, and the findings are shocking about voter fraud. And I'm talking about from both parties. They use different techniques, but the voter fraud is the same. We know now that Acorn has conducted massive registration fraud of voters, and that, you know, have done multiple have registered one person more than once. We know that the Republicans have been accused of tampering with the voting machines. These two parties control the system. It's a Soviet system. It's a closed environment. outsiders are not allowed in. We know here in Memphis, our own Austin Farley ran for office, and every single poll had him beating his opponent by a fairly healthy margin. The very closest poll was that they were neck and neck. And yet when the election was over, Austin Farley had won by had lost by some ridiculous amount. He'd gotten just a fraction of the vote.
Right.
We saw on television as the voting returns came in that he and another candidate had more votes than their opponent, but suddenly the results went completely off the air about his particular race, and it came back on, and the other guy had won. No one is going to convince me that elections in this country are not totally fraudulent. We know from the Buchanan campaign that Buchanan won in New Hampshire, and that's when the shutdown began. How is it that a candidate wins in New Hampshire and yet can't seem to get a foothold in any other state? It doesn't make any sense. New Hampshire is supposed to be one of the bellwethers of elections in this country, along with Iowa. And yet Buchanan can win in New Hampshire, but doesn't seem to even have any name recognition anywhere else. We know that in Georgia, he was drawing huge crowds to his rallies. Bob Dole couldn't get 200 people in a room at any of his rallies.
We've talked about this so many times before. You know, I've likened Bob Dole to a resurrected cadaver.
Right.
And to believe that he could have even competed with Buchanan in 1996 especially is just folly.
But the thing is, it doesn't matter what labels you use, whether it's paleoconservative or liberal or ultra-liberal. The point that I think needs to be made is that you're either right or you're not, and you're either talking about substantive issues or you're not. And the fact that Barack Obama can walk around with a big change sticker on his lapel doesn't mean a thing. And any fool who scratches the surface of his campaign can see that it's a socialist agenda.
And we're going to talk more about that in the third hour, so I encourage folks to stay tuned to that, because you're absolutely right. Obama, who is obviously a scripted candidate and a made-for-TV candidate, a highly trained agent, if you will, he even let his guard down. He himself even let his guard down a little bit with Joe the Plumber. And I think people got a rare look into the real real mindset of Barack Obama. So we're going to be talking about that later. We only have 2 minutes left here before we go to break. But great questions there from Mike in Ohio. We have several callers on the line, and only a couple of minutes before we got to get to our guest for this hour, and then we're going to take a lot of calls during the third hour. So if you can't get in right now, be patient. We're going to take a lot of calls during the third hour. But Bob in Colorado, if you're still there, what can we do for you?
Hello, this is Bob. How are you?
You're doing well, my friend. How are you?
The reason I'm calling is really good show. I'm feel bad about Mr. Hader. I'm sure he was a wonderful man, and nothing in politics surprises me anymore. Let's just leave it at that. The breaking news that I have to announce to your listeners, and I've been trying to get this on air on several of the different Patriot shows, is that the regular army around the country is showing up at our National Guard armories and seizing all their weaponry. Have you heard this story?
As a matter of fact, I haven't substantiated this yet, but I did get an email from a very good source just in advance of the program tonight, and because I hadn't had a chance to look into it, I didn't want to bring it up just yet, but the fact that you're calling in, a totally different person, leaves a little more credence to it. And we only have 50 seconds before we go to break, Bob, and I know that's not nearly enough time to get this story out, but tell us what you can, and I promise we'll follow up next week.
The 148th Field Artillery Battalion in Pocatello, Idaho, has been stripped of everything from their artillery down to 9mm handguns. They don't have a bullet. The Montana National Guard has been stripped of all its M1s Abrams tanks, and they've been transferred over to a hazmat and water purification unit. Now, this is happening all across the country. All Pacific Northwest returnees from Iraq are being sent to Fort Lewis and are being issued new gear and shipped back to Iraq. They're not.
And Bob, just hold that thought. As a matter of fact, just hang on the line. I want to ask you why you think this is happening. When we come back, we've got to go to break. The political cesspool continues in just a second.
More of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip. 77 Sunset Strip.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
I'm sitting here checking my email, and then the fan mail is pouring in. Bill, you got one from Winston Smith. It's always good when the co-host will send us in fan mail. Mm-hmm. Bill, Winston Smith over from China wanted me to tell you what a great job you did in the first segment on Hader, and our board operator, Mike, got fan mail from Art Frith, another fellow board operator, so everybody's getting fan mail but me tonight. But anyway, we've got our next guest on the line, Don Rich, but we're going to get to him in just one moment. I'm very excited about the interview and what Mr. Rich is going to bring to the table tonight. But Bob from Colorado, are you still on the line?
Hello?
We lose Bob? Are you still there, Bob?
I'm still here.
Okay, I don't mean to cut this off, but I want to give you 60 seconds to wrap it up. Obviously, what it sounds like is somebody's preparing for martial law, perhaps.
But I want to give you
just 60 seconds to finish this up, and then if you want to call back in the third hour, we're going to have an open mic hour. We'd love to talk to you again then.
Right.
But continue on very quickly with what you were saying before.
To roll this all together, the National Guard units that are returning are being rolled back into Iraq, and our National Guard across the country are being stripped of all heavy weaponry and crew-served weaponry. And I heard from a fellow at church I've known for years last week that one of his good friends is in the reserves, and I've also heard that 250,000 reserves have been called up and are on base due to the economic crisis. And last year when Bush signed the Military Commissions Act, that gives him authority
under any perceived threat to him whatsoever to declare martial law. Now, as a citizen of the United States, my last line of defense from my government is my state guard. The National Guard is really a misnomer. There are state guards in Colorado,
right,
Texas, Montana, Wyoming. They are now being disarmed by the federals. This is a very, very bad sign for the Republic.
Well, we're going to talk more about this during the third hour. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting that Bob would bring this up because I got two emails, both an hour before showtime tonight, that were trying to fill me in on this. I just didn't have the chance to look into it. So, folks, we'll try to get more information and give it to you. And, Bob, if you want to call back during the third hour, we'd love to hear from you then. But thanks for being the Paul Revere of tonight's program and bringing that information to us. Now, moving on to Don Rich. We're very pleased to have Mr. Rich as our guest this evening. He is an educator, first and foremost. He got his master's degree at Johns Hopkins University in international relations, and his specialization is in American foreign policy and international economics. Mr. Rich is an instructor of economics, finance, and political science at Montgomery County Community College in Bluebell, Pennsylvania, and he also teaches economics, government, and history at Delaware County Community College, also in Pennsylvania, picking up where Dr. Paul Craig Roberts left off with us last week with regards to the economy. We now welcome Don Rich to the program. Mr. Rich, we appreciate your patience. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Well, talking about the economy, this is something that's on everybody's mind right now, and certainly everybody's suffering right now. I want to ask you a few questions about it. What is the real cost, in your opinion, Mr. Rich, of a full bailout, quote-unquote, and was the bailout that recently passed a full bailout?
Not yet. In some sense, the cost is becoming uncalculable because the United States federal government is assuming, along with the Japanese, the G7, they're all in a race to guarantee the value of all financial liabilities, and where the problem is, we're losing price stability, so you can't really estimate such a cost anymore. It easily $5 trillion, just if that's the simple math you can do. But there's a whole spectrum of credit instruments that have not yet been brought into the picture, but are guaranteed to fail during this process, in particular credit default swaps, which are enormous in value. And when I say loss of price stability, this is different than what most people are used to thinking about. It's the ups and downs of prices. There's a reason that Wall Street is going all over the place, as are oil prices, is that when you have a fiat money system, i.e. paper money that's unbacked by anything, start to fail, then the money that's been printed or electronically created really is running around to try to find a place to go, and eventually people don't know what financial assets are worth until there's actually a system clearing event, basically. Which in the case, what you don't want, per your previous caller's question, would be a full nationalization of the U.S. economy, in effect, or its financial sector, which is where we're headed towards, which I don't like. I don't think it's necessary or smart.
You mentioned that nationalization of the finance industry. Of course, Wall Street is applauding that right now. Why is that so?
Well, because there's some parts of Wall Street that will benefit. I mean, in the sense of the favored banks. I mean, what they've done is basically said that there's 10 banks now that are super privileged with respect to the United States government, around which the rest of the banking industry is likely to be forced to consolidate around.
Hey, Mr. Rich, just step tight. We got to go to a break. I wasn't expecting that. We got to go to a quick break. I'm going to bring you right back, and we're going to continue that question about the nationalization of the financial sector. We'll be right back here in the cesspool, everybody.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Superbeta Prostate banner to learn more about the product. Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys. So today, I'll be
standing right by his side. We're continuing on now with Don Rich, the professor and economist, talking about, well, the economy. And Mr. Rich, right before we had to go to that break, we were talking to you about how Wall Street apparently is applauding the nationalization of the finance industry. I'd like to give you the opportunity to continue on with your answer.
Okay. What we're witnessing, I think, is an ill-understood command and control system that's failing, and it's thrashing around to try to preserve itself. The Federal Reserve System and other central banks work by manipulating short-term interest rates to target output, and they have a mathematical model. It's called FRB US / global. It's also somewhat intuitive in character, but fundamentally it's socialistic in ideas. In other words, the government is going to pick at any moment in time what interest rate to use to target output and inflation, which is socialism, really. It sounds less threatening because it's bankers doing it rather than, you know, the federal government directly, although it's the same thing. And so inevitably, Hayek and Mises, pardon me, Friedrich Hayek and Ludwig von Mises were right about this. Socialism fails because there's no way that one entity can foresee the correct set of interest rates to use over time, so they'll generate price instability eventually. That, I mean, in this context. And so they're trying to save the thing by using more and more extreme measures, and where the reason parts of Wall Street like this is they're going to be used as the instrument of, you know, central banking socialism, which is really not, if they're not thinking very clearly on this, I think, that in the long run, the history of this is that it is bound to lead, if you went all the way through with this, it's very likely to lead to either a fascist state or a socialist state. In the case of the United States, you would guess fascism because of the tie to all of this to the empire, which is that the fact that the reason this, you know, error happened is the United States, the political classes have been trying to win votes by propping up financial asset prices for at least 20 years to mask the fact that they've not been asking the American people to make choices between empire and entitlements versus taxes. They're trying to, you know, finance their way through it, and you can't do that forever because you generate asset price bubbles that eventually induce price instability across the global capitalist system, and that's what we're witnessing. And then they're trying to correct that by more intervention, which is a folly, I think, that if what got you here was discretionary monetary policy, i.e., the Federal Reserve and the ECB and the Central Bank of Japan sometimes work together, sometimes not, but in a general sense sort of work together to try to manipulate money supply in terms of their judgment, why would you continue on that path if this is where the problem started in the first place? And what you'd want to switch to is a credible regime, which would either be a rule that the Federal Reserve System will commit to a clear and legal creation of the money supply in terms of buying government debt or other financial assets, but the history of those things isn't good, or some type of commodity system, which is, history has shown, does prevent governments from doing stupid things like this. That's what got us into this mess in the first place.
Well, I want to ask you one question. You mentioned the U.S. government, and of course this all revolves around their ineptitude, I guess you could say, or willingness to completely collapse the economy. I don't know which. But you and Bill were having an absolutely riveting discussion during the commercial break, and I want Bill to come in and ask a couple of questions of you before we run out of time tonight. But with regards to the government, is the United States government insolvent? And if so, do you think that the government officials will find or even care to find a way to become solvent again, or are we past the point of no return?
It could be. I mean, yeah, in a technical sense, if you look at the General Accounting Office, what they will say is that on a long-run basis, on a net present value discounted basis, the assets of the federal government minus the liabilities of the federal government are equal minus $30 trillion. That's the net worth of the federal government. Now, the United States is a wealthy country, so it could finance that. It could correct that problem. It just seems like the political classes only care about winning the next election, and so the problem is getting dramatically worse. Under Bush, it increased the negative net wealth of the federal government increased by $6 trillion, which is a lot. And if you look at what's on the horizon, with the federal government adding basically the entire credit risk of the United States economy onto the balance sheet, that's going the wrong direction for sure.
I think that's the understatement of the program tonight, but you're certainly right in your assessment there. Bill, you're asking some great questions. As I said, I wish the audience had been privy to the conversation that you and Mr. Rich were having during the commercial break, and I want to bring you into the conversation now, Bill.
Professor Rich, is this a manufactured crisis, or is it the result of very poor financial oversight and fiduciary responsibility?
I think it's something that was inevitable. If you look at the literature on this, if you look at a country that has a current account deficit, the scale of which the United States has, in other words, our national spending is 6% greater than our national income, and we basically, you know, we're importing more than we export, and so then we sell pieces of paper to foreigners to finance that. Every time any country has had that kind of current account deficit, it's ended badly. It's ended in a financial crisis. It's difficult to predict you essentially can't predict the initiation of it, and that's because it has a political character to it, which is to say that everyone knows this is a problem. It depends on how the players in the game want to pull the trigger and who that is. In this case, it would seem to me that there's probably foreigners who are voting on this in effect, too. There are people who are tired of us shoving around everyone around the planet, and the hint is the sovereign wealth funds didn't come back. In other words, you know, this has happened before. It happened in the late 80s where the United States, you know, the dollar, in 1987, the stock market crashes, the dollar's crashing, and basically we sold off a bunch of stuff to the Japanese. It's still, and then the real estate side, it's still bubble prices, and they lost their shirts on that. Well, foreigners aren't stupid, and so, you know, it happens again, and the hint is from the Treasury that, you know, China should buy you. I mean, if you think about the preposterous character of this, the U.S. government has been putting pressure on China to buy Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac debt, and it's kind of like, why are we having federal government officials pressure a quasi-communist dictatorship to finance the United States? That's preposterous in character. That's a broken system fundamentally. So, in other words, there's plenty of players who I think, when they saw this coming, because everyone could see the real estate bubble, I mean, that was obvious if you weren't living inside the bubble. I'm sure foreigners played a role in its initiation, too, as far as just pulling the plug on the capital flow to the United States, i.e. the 6% of our national income we're financing, 6% of our national funding we're financing. It's also probably the case within the federal government itself that once this started to unfold, there are power play moves on the part of both the Federal Reserve System and, you know, quasi-fascist elements in the U.S. government who basically, you know, want to nationalize the U.S. economy for war purposes, is what I would say. There's all sorts of people who have an agenda as far as pushing us towards nationalization, whether it's, you know, the socialism of the central banks or the fascism of the military-industrial complex that are leading us down the same general path, which is a bad one. It's not the ideals on which the republic was founded.
Well, there seems to be a move on the part of our financial system to find common ground with other currencies around the world. That is to say that obviously we don't have the manufacturing base to create wealth either nationally or internationally. And so there seems to be some modification going on in terms of our relationships of currencies. I know that the Russians have said that we should no longer use the dollar as the basis for the price of oil. And now the good news, quote, is that oil is down to $60-something dollars a barrel, and this is supposed to be cause for celebration. But isn't that, in fact, a sort of a comment on the value of the dollar more than the value of oil? Or you know, at what point are we going to say we've got to find a better or a different system in dealing with foreign currencies? Because, as I mentioned during the break, I learned from somebody in the banking business several months ago before this crisis that, in fact, American ATM cards are being will be able to automatically make exchange rates. If you're overseas, you can put your ATM card in a machine, and it will give you the equivalent in euros or yen or yuan or whatever it is. Do you think that that's on the horizon, that, in fact, we're looking for some sort of global exchange system, a monetary system, a commodity system?
Well, that's the central banking agenda playing out, which is when you look at the bailout meetings before, the Europeans are like guaranteeing all bank debt, right, which puts pressure on the United States to do the same thing. And in Japan, you know, kind of hints that maybe we're not going to cooperate as much as we did in the past by not going along with one of the interest rate cuts, where what the central bankers would love is effectively, you know, like a G7/euro single currency, which then they would get to manage. Whether or not, I don't see that in the U.S. Constitution as anyone other than the U.S. Congress having the power to coin or regulate money. So who elected the central bankers to manage the economy at that level when their management has been catastrophically bad so far why we are going down that road is beyond me, other than that the central bankers, you know, have managed to present themselves as being Santa Claus rather than potentially very dangerous, just to, you know, government bureaucracy like anything else, where what I think would make far more sense is to find an anchor for the price level, and the logical anchor, it seems to me, is in energy, in the sense that the one problem with gold is that it doesn't move perfectly with industrial activity. So in other words, sometimes there's moves in gold in the past, if you go back to like the 19th century and up to 1933, in some ways 1971, but especially until 33 at a pure gold standard, that sometimes movements in gold that weren't really related to broad economic tendencies, broad macroeconomic aggregates, would move the economy unnecessarily. Well, energy, there's nothing better, there's no better indicator of economic activity that are practical to construct than an energy metric where credit extension would have to be based, collateralized by, you know, say debt claims on energy production that were senior in the capital structure, and where you could have a private market which would function with less risk than what we're witnessing now, which is, I mean, the Federal Reserve Board, again, why no one in the press does this, the Federal Reserve Board has a mathematical model of the United States economy. It's called FRBUS Global. It has 1,400 equations approximately, simulated on a supercomputer. And I don't understand why someone doesn't ask Benjamin Bernanke, okay, you're telling us these are the consequences of your actions. Well, you know, your model, did it show any probability of this? And the answer is no, because you can't model behavior like that, because their model is not in touch with reality anymore, and that's why they're having to take all these extreme steps. That's the point. It's called model. It's model misspecification is the technical term, and it's inevitable in any centralized planning system like that, whereas some tie of the money supply to a non-discretionary thing. It's, you know, impersonal in character. Like, if there's not British thermal units being produced of energy, then you don't get to extend credit, because that's life, a limit.
Well, that's what prompted my question about whether it was a manufactured crisis or whether it was bad management, bad planning, was that there should have been some red flag or some bellwether somewhere that would have said, this is approaching, let's take preventative measures now. But in fact, what happened is, obviously, this has become viral, and it's actually a global financial crisis at this point. I don't know what countries aren't included in it. I think Czechoslovakia is fairly stable. But I know the Russian stock market shut down a couple of times, that the Asian stock markets have had fever and cold chills for the past couple of months. But, I mentioned again during the break that the chief of monetary policy at the Council on Foreign Relations said in an NPR interview about a year ago that, in fact, what the entire world needed was some commodity-based exchange. And he mentioned at that point gold and silver. But you say energy is actually the gold of the 21st century.
Well, I think there's a good case to be made for that, just because, I mean, I don't have a problem with a gold standard is better than what we have now, because what we have now lends itself to disasters. It always has. This is not new. Anywhere and everywhere, fiat. If you go back and look up Milton Friedman, fiat money systems are very risky, because if the government has incentives to make, quote, errors in the short run, and then basically to finance things through the inflation tax that they don't want to do overtly, because they wouldn't be able to get that in a democratic process. And then in the long run, they don't bother to correct it, and they keep on coming up with more and more contrivances to hide the problem. A gold standard, I think the one problem historically was that gold is pretty lumpy as far as where you find it, so that there's big movements in the price level, because, like, they don't find gold for 20 years, and then you have, like, you know, the South African strike and the Alaskan strike, or you go, you know, like 1890s or go back to 1850s California strike, whereas an energy standard, okay, not just oil, but where banks' capital that they're extending credit on is based on super senior debt claims to defined levels of production of British thermal units, which would have...
Mr. Rich, hate to interrupt. We got 10 seconds to break. Just hold that thought. We'll continue on with energy is the gold of the 21st century. Follow that line of thinking when we wrap up this interview right after this.
Walk down the street, we get funniest looks.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
Here's something. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, purple, thin, fat, or oblong. If you're eating food, you need to clean out the inside of your body. Why? Because undigested food and toxic chemicals build up in the digestive tract every day. If you think this can't hurt you, think again. It already has. Indigestion, bloating, gas, irregularity, and constipation are all connected to this toxic buildup. Here's what you can do about it. Take a supplement called AlloCleanse. It's all natural, and it gently cleanses the entire digestive tract. All that leftover junk inside your body gets flushed away, and your bathroom habits suddenly become a whole lot smoother. Laugh all you want, but it's true. And it's why millions of people use AlloCleanse daily. They get more energy, they're healthier, and they look better. You'd be surprised. To try AlloCleanse risk-free, call 1-800-547-6603. That's 1-800-547-6603. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the AlloEase colon banner and learn more about this product.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. James Edwards along with Bill Rowland for tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. We're having a very in-depth and scholarly look at the economy with our guest this evening, Don Rich. We're very thankful for him lending his expertise to our listening audience this evening. Mr. Rich, before we went to the break, we were talking about two things. You were following a line of thinking that says that energy is, in fact, perhaps the gold of the 21st century. And then you and Bill continued on during the commercial break, once again talking about the notion that we are in fact a war economy. I'd like to turn the turn the stage back over to you.
Oh, okay. Just briefly on the energy standard, that I think an energy standard, because it could incorporate a broader base of things like nuclear, coal, gas, wind, and solar, would lend itself to a global order in which what you would not be doing in that case is isolating Russia, which is the drift of things now, which is dangerous because the Russians tend to be paranoid anyway, and I'm not a fan of Vladimir Putin at all, but you don't set up the conditions of, from his point of view, it looks like the United States is headed towards a war economy. Well, the power with whom that would clearly be is Russia, and in which a war with Russia could be catastrophic in character, not just for the entire planet, I mean, for the entire planet, literally. And it's not necessary. The economy, why are we listening to Ben Bernanke? Why are we listening to Paulson? Why are we listening to any of these people? Not one of them stood up, or Greenspan for that matter, not one of them stood up when the Case-Shiller Index reached 205, when, you know, I was teaching a macroeconomics class in a community college, and I looked at the index and was like, oh, my God, that's the biggest bubble in history. I almost had a heart attack, and it was so obvious at that point. 3 years ago, not one of them said a word. So they have no credibility whatsoever. None of the central banks do. They've known this has been a problem for a long time. The whole political class has, and they didn't want to deal with it because it was involved confronting unpleasant choices. And so there are alternatives to this which are consistent with limited government, namely fixing the price level in terms of anchoring the price level to the value of something that can be found in a market, which is to say energy. Energy has a price that occurs naturally in a supply and demand sense, which restricts the power of government, which if you don't restrict, inevitably leads to various elements of the government taking us down a path where the incentive is either towards a tyrannical form of socialism or fascism, which means war. And it's not smart to do, and it's not necessary.
Well, we've got about 20 seconds before break. We're going to hold our esteemed guest, Mr. Don Rich, over for one more segment where we're going to talk about resolutions. Is there anything that can be done to avoid this calamity, and how do we implement those steps? We're going to maybe try to find a silver lining somewhere in the middle of this morass, and the political cesspool rolls on into the top of our third and final hour for tonight's show right after this.
Don't go away. There's still one more hour of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
In Matthew 20.